Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do it or die now. Stand your ground. Don't let your bad breaks go getting you down.
Little Atlanta rhythm section. Bring us back, ladies and gentlemen. That's Small Business's anthem there. Even when times get rough and you've had enough, you still got to try. That's what you do every day, small business owners. That's the reason why that I show up every day for you, doing the best I can to provide you with whatever support we can here on the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. We update it every day just for you. We add new capability on it all the time just for you. Douglas Holtz Aiken is our guest. You can find him on our website. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for a while, former director of the Congressional Budget Office, the president of the American Action Forum. And Doug, one of the things, thanks again for hanging out with us, by the way. And Doug, one of the things that America, really the world, can look back on over the last 100 years is amazing progress in medicine, in healthcare capability, and look at how it's manifested in longer lives, higher standards of living, higher quality of life for so many people. My parents used to complain a little bit about some of the cost of medicine they were taking. I said, "But Dad, does it help you feel better?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, then it's worth it." But you're worried about that was a nice trip down memory lane. You're worried about our future in this regard, aren't you?
I very much am. The United States is right now the premier location on this globe for advances in medical science and the commercialization of new therapies and technologies and drugs. But it wasn't always that way. Europe was once a clear leader, and Europe lost its lead because it made mistakes. And I'm afraid our mistakes, our risk-averse FDA, our counterproductive tort and tax policies, and especially the new healthcare reform, mm-hmm. are in fact the harbingers of the U.S. Heading towards second-tier status. In
what mistakes did Europe make?
Well, I mean, they failed to maintain adequate rewards for innovation. You know, this was a continent characterized by high spending, high taxes, by a heavy regulatory burden, by social equity over advancement as the motif. And you know, there's a lot to, if you think about that, there's a lot to what's going on right now that has that feel.
So one of the things that, so you're saying that there needs to be an entrepreneurial foundation under healthcare advancement, medical advancement. And, of course, you don't find much entrepreneurship in Europe anymore.
No, you don't, and it's because the environment is stacked against it. So think about now in the U.S., take a particular example, which would be the Independent Payment Advisory Board that's embedded in the new healthcare reform. That board is 15 unelected so-called experts taken from a wide swath of expertise, and its job will be to each year announce changes to Medicare that will allow Medicare to hit some sort of budget target.
And these are political appointees too, aren't they?
They are politically appointed, but they are above the oversight of the Congress, so they are highly insulated by definition.
Right.
Now, regardless of the quality of those people, the job they've been given, which is making sure Medicare within the next year hits a budget target, can only really be achieved by cutting reimbursements for drugs or therapies or providers of some type, mm-hmm. because a year just isn't enough time to change a business model, to undertake a new preventive regime or whatever it might be.
Something that's been entrenched for 60 or 70 years at least. Or...
Oh, yeah. And so now, you know, what are we going to have? We're going to have them desperate to hit their target. They're going to cut the most expensive things first. And what will those be? Well, those will be the most recent innovations in either technologies or drugs. And they're going to say, we're not going to pay for that. That means if you're an entrepreneur and an innovator and you finally brought this to market, an important part of the market, half of bill paying in America, is going to mm-hmm. say, you know, we're not coming up with full freight. That's essentially a random tax on innovation.
And that's a message to companies who are contemplating the potential for an innovation for a device or a medicine that people could that would benefit folks. They're sitting there saying, okay, where do we put this $1 billion? Do we put it against this research? And somebody at the table says, no, we'll never get our money back if we do that.
Right. And so, you know, the lesson there is don't do it, or especially don't do it here. Do it somewhere else. Now, the other thing they might try to do is, you know, let's not go to the Medicare market. Let's go to the private payers. But there you've got another obstacle, which is the Food and Drug Administration, which
right.
is increasingly slow in its approvals of new drugs, and which is now subject to a lot of political pressure from Congress. And so you see sort of after-the-fact retribution against drugs that turn out to have tiny side effects on small populations. And, you know, both of these are lessons that really send the message to do this elsewhere. And so we're worried that in the end, all this innovation will move somewhere else.
Where else America would it move?
Well, I mean, there are enormous markets coming up in China and India and Brazil and Russia.
So you think they might actually put their unit, put their research unit somewhere else and open up a subsidiary there and then go in that direction rather than – and would that not then make that available to America, though?
Well, I think the biggest concern I have is not just that the subsidiary goes there, but if you take the third feature of what we're worried about, the U.S. tax code. The U.S. tax code is uniquely anti-competitive
mm-hmm.
and says to our large global firms, you know, you're better off being located elsewhere
yep.
because only the United States of the major economies still taxes on worldwide income. What that means is that if we have a German firm and a U.S. firm trying to sell into, say, Brazil,
mm-hmm.
the German firm pays Brazilian taxes and that's it.
That's it.
The U.S. firm, the Brazilian tax plus a
yep.
second layer of tax.
We have to get tax reform, folks, that makes America competitive again. We have to do that. And it's not just about medicine, although that's what we're talking about right now. It's about a lot of, across the board, actually. 10 till. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.